More about Jesus. You know, it was obviously the very intent of a young man by the name of Zacchaeus, who climbed into a sycamore tree. I was telling David Sparks earlier, I would like to have used him tonight as a visual aid because David is so short. And he says, well, don't ask me to jump out of a sycamore tree. But anyway, if you'll turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke chapter 19. One of the most interesting stories in all the Bible is this story about Zacchaeus. It's only recorded here in the book of Luke. But it's a very interesting story. And you know, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was one who was constantly touching other people with the message of God. And Zacchaeus obviously had heard a lot about Jesus and wanted to know a little bit more about him. That might have been his song, more about Jesus. Tell me more. Well, in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter and verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man who was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them which was lost. One man said one time, if God does not save a man by truth, he certainly will not save them by lies. You know, Zacchaeus was a very interesting individual. I've often wondered, and of course, Jesus being the omniscient one and knowing all things, he obviously knew who Zacchaeus was. Now, the Bible doesn't really tell us that, but Zacchaeus must have heard a lot about this Jesus of Nazareth, because the Bible says that he rushes out and runs, as a matter of fact, to climb up in a sycamore, some translations say sycamine, but a sycamore tree, and to wait for Jesus to pass by. And, you know, he could have easily been distracted by a lot of things. I don't know if you realize, surely you do, that we live in a world of distractions that are constantly screaming for our attention. And there are no doubt people tonight who have been distracted from coming to learn more about Jesus. Obviously, their idea about Jesus was far less than what you desire, because you're here tonight and you're wanting to know more about Jesus. Well, unknowingly, these distractions can diminish our desperation for God. And I think we are desperate for God. Many people don't realize it. Sometimes they don't understand what they're searching for in life. Even many of the religious activities that we get involved in life do not equal our spiritual maturity. Most anything that is designed to serve in actuality as an outward expression of an inward attitude can be cheapened by hypocrisy. Now, Jesus obviously saw that in his days. There were many people in Zacchaeus, even being the publican that he was, and the publicans were known for their extortion of money from other people, their overtaxation. Wouldn't to God that our folks up in Washington could be here tonight to hear this message. But anyway, he obviously was looked upon with great contempt by many who knew him. And because you remember, when Jesus called him out of that sycamore tree and he goes to his house, they're enraged about it because they say, why, this is a man that's claiming to be the Son of God. This is a man that's claiming to be the Messiah, but he's going to eat with a known sinner. Well, you know, Jesus obviously went among sinner folks, and his desire was to lead them to God. Sometimes people get a mistaken idea about what our role is. Sometimes I wonder how earnest are our prayers, how effectual are our prayers, and how modest are our principles in life. We live in a world that is filled with dishonest practices. And I think maybe one of the questions we ought to ask ourselves tonight is, are we always honest in our dealing with other people? There are five things that I want to share with you tonight about Zacchaeus, and really five things that we need to know if we're going to reach other people with the gospel of Christ. And, you know, there's more to this story than maybe meets the eye. But I think inherent in this story, there are five principles that we see very vividly here about how Jesus went about trying to reach others. One of the most often asked questions in churches of Christ today among brethren is this one. Well, I don't know how to talk to my neighbor, but how do I talk to him about Jesus? What can I do? Well, I think the greatest thing we could do is to follow what the master teacher did and implement those principles in our own life. So let me share those with you over the next few moments. Many of us have great difficulty doing that. There was a man, a preacher by the name of Howard Hendricks one time, who made this statement. He said, in the midst of our generation that is screaming for answers, many of those of us who are Christians are simply stuttering. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to give those answers. Well, let me share with you tonight the five things that I really believe that are important to reach other people. The encounter of Zacchaeus and Jesus obviously manifest for us, number one, that Jesus sought him in verse 1 through 5. We must be willing to go after people because they are looking for hope. You know, we live in a world today that's almost void of hope. There are very few people out there that offer us hope. And the world is looking for hope. They're looking for better days that are yet to come. And even though sometimes people promise those, other people know that they are very shallow and that there is no substance to what they're saying at all. I will tell you, and of course here again, that Jesus sought Zacchaeus. He's walking along. You say, well, Zacchaeus sought him. Well, I don't know how interested he was. Maybe just kind of wanted to see Jesus. And so he climbs up in a sycamore tree and he's waiting there for that magical moment when Jesus comes walking by. And probably in his mind, that would kind of be the end of it. He'd just see Jesus, and he'd heard about him, and then it's all over. But it wasn't all over. It all started at that moment for Zacchaeus when Jesus looked up into that sycamore tree, and he saw him, and he said, make haste and come down. Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus much more than Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. That is, Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. Jesus is looking for lost sinners today. And if you read a little bit further down here in verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them that are lost. He still is. And that's our mission. Sometimes people in the church lose sight of what our mission is. What is our mission? We talk about fulfilling the Great Commission. And you know, we think sometimes that that's just trying to get people baptized into the kingdom of God, but it is really teaching them. Because if you really look at the Great Commission, as a matter of fact, Christ said that we are to teach twice in that particular passage. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And then he also says, after talking about the fact that we ought to baptize folk, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Paul Harvey once said that in the church today, many people have ceased to be fishers of men, and we have simply resigned ourselves to be keepers of the aquarium. And that's true in many places. But we are to be fishers of men. And so Jesus sought him, and I think the lesson in that is that you don't wait for people to come to you and say, well, let me tell you about Jesus, but we must be soul-seeking. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise, and if the truth were known tonight, you probably can think of a lot of folks right now, and I'm serious, if you were to make a list right now, you could, I don't know how long it would be, but it probably would be rather lengthy, people that you know that are not Christians tonight. If you made that list and you wrote it out, it might surprise you. And then the real question comes, how many of those have you talked to about Jesus? How many of those have you really sought? Now that's a real issue. But there's another thing you need to know, principally speaking, about Jesus in this encounter with Zacchaeus. Secondly, was that he cared for him. It has been said that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And Zacchaeus must have perceived Jesus as one who cared. We must care enough to find out about him. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name, and I've always thought this is interesting here because no one had told him who Zacchaeus was, not in this text. We're not privy to it if that were the case. But he calls him by name. You know, people like to be called by their name. I don't know about you, but I don't like people to call me up and say, hey, you, you know, or hey. I've been called worse, by the way. But we like to be called by our name. People like to, have you ever noticed in the Bible that people are called by their first name? Anybody in here know the name, the last name of Peter or John or Paul or Zacchaeus? We don't. Everybody was on a first name basis. They knew each other. Now, when Zacchaeus had climbed up in the tree, Jesus is walking by. We're not privy to some of the disciples saying, hey, look up there, old Zacchaeus is up there in that tree. Jesus just looks up there and he sees him and he calls him by name. Maybe there were some others up there in the tree. I don't know. Maybe that's the reason he called him by name. Wanted to make sure it was Zacchaeus who got out of the tree. But he calls him by name, Zacchaeus. Make haste and come down. I wonder, do we care enough about the lost to seek them by name? Not just a number. You know, the Bible says, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4 and verse 17. And so if we understand that there are people out there that are lost and we're not caring enough about them to share the gospel with them, do we really care? Do we really? Well, there's another thought here too. And this is really an important one. And that is that Jesus chose to fellowship with Zacchaeus. A lot of people ask me sometimes, they say, well, should I go? They invited me over to their house to go eat, or you know, they invited me to go out with them. Should I go out with them? Well, I know they're not Christians, and you know, I don't want the world judging me. When they look at me and they see me with someone like that, they might think I endorse the way they are. You know what? Get beyond all that. They accused Jesus of a lot of things. They accused him of being a wine bibber, because he called the alcoholics. They accused him perhaps of being an adulterer because he was leading a woman to Christ in the book of John, the 4th chapter. They accused him of perhaps maligning himself right along with this publican or tax collector or extortioner, Zacchaeus. That's what they said. Why he goes to dine in the house with Zacchaeus, who is a sinner. He fellowshiped with him. His purpose was not to parlay with him. His purpose was not to be involved in his sinful activities. But to the contrary, his purpose was to teach him what is right and what is wrong. But we must be willing to go into the homes of those who are not Christians. We must be willing to enter into their culture. We must be willing to enter into their circles while being separate in our actions before God. You know, if the Bible, again, teaches anything at all, in principle it teaches this, that we go to the sinner, not them coming to us. Sometimes we have a mistaken idea that we open the building up, and we have church services, and y'all come. And that's the extent of it. We are to do the work of evangelists. We are to be about the Father's business. And in the book of Acts chapter 8, when there was a great dispersion of Christians and in Jerusalem, when all the problems that were going on there, the Bible says that they went everywhere preaching and teaching the Word of God, except the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. But they had fellowship. And sometimes people wonder, you know, how far do I reach out with my fellowship? I've had wives say that even about their husbands and husbands about their wife, you know. How submissive should I be? How many of you remember All in the Family? Y'all remember that? Some of you do. And Archie Bunker, does that ring a name or a bell? Archie Bunker was complaining one time, as he always did. I don't guess there was a show that or an episode that he didn't complain about something. And Edith, you know, what can you say about her? But anyway, he said to her, he said, that's you all right, Edith the Good. He said, you'll stoop to do anything to be good. You make nobody mad. You think it's easy living with a saint, Edith, he said. Even when you cheat, you don't cheat to win, you cheat to lose. And Edith says, that's a terrible thing to say, Archie Bunker. I'm just as human as you are. And Archie retorts, oh yeah, then prove you're human to me. Just do something rotten. Well, believe it or not, there are people in the world that believe that. They think that Christians ought to do something rotten. Well, that's not the case at all. And even though we live in an Archie Bunker world, we must operate like an Edith Bunker Christian. We can be in the world, but not of the world. You know, one of the evidences of that, I think, also is what Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of the book of John. Jesus was not praying for isolation of his disciples, but he's praying that they might have spiritual strength in the world that was so corrupt around them. He says, Father, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that the world may be blessed and encouraged to follow God because of the lives that they live. You know, I read today, and I thought this was very, very interesting. You probably do not remember a woman, maybe some of you do, a woman named Leona Gage. Anybody remember her in here? Believe it or not, she was Miss America, or Miss USA, that is, back in 1957. Now, Bernie, you ought to remember that. But back in 1957, she was Miss USA. Well, she died today, but there's a very interesting story. Actually, she died Tuesday. But there's a very interesting story about her because she was stripped of her honor of being Miss USA because she lied to the Miss USA pageant. Back in 1957, she was Miss Maryland, and she was representing Maryland in the Miss USA pageant. And she had told reporters after winning that she did not even have a boyfriend. And she had told them all that she was 21, when in actuality, she was just 18. And had been married twice, believe it or not, at age 14. And had two children. The first marriage was quickly annulled. And she had her second child when she was 16. And certainly that would have forbidden her the right to be in the Miss USA pageant. And she went through life with that tag. She lied. She misrepresented truth. You know, there are a lot of people in our world today that have no problem with that. And so that's why Jesus did something else here, number four. He shared truth with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus lived in a world. If you remember back during the days of Christ and when all this was going on, the world was filled with distortions about religion. And they were filled with distortions about what pleased God and what did not please God. The Pharisees would have told you it is perfectly all right for us to stand on the street corners and pray and use vain repetition. God said not so. They said it was all right for me to give or for an individual to give and sound the trumpet if you're giving loud donations to God and your tithe is rather large. And it's all right to be seen of men. And Jesus says, no, when you do it that way, you receive your reward. We must be willing to tell the truth. Now, a lot of people are not. And as I said, a lot of people are being misled religiously tonight because of the distortions of truth. The world does not need our opinions. They do not need criticism. We exist as a people of God to call men and women to Jesus Christ. If you just don't believe that, look what happened to Zacchaeus. The truth changed him. And the truth will change those who come in contact with it. It will. Sometimes people are just greedy. Now, you will well know that tax collectors back during the day of Zacchaeus were greedy folk. They were. It reminds me of a story I read about two friends who met on the street one day, and one looked rather sad, and he was almost on the verge of tears. Another man said to him, he said, "Hey, my friend," he said, "how come you look like your whole world just caved in?" And the sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you," he said, "3 weeks ago, an uncle died and left me $50,000. And he said, "Hey, man, that's not bad at all." He said, "Hold on." He said, "I'm just getting started." He said, "2 weeks ago, a cousin of mine kicked the bucket and left me $95,000 tax-free." He said, "Well, man, that sounds great." He says, "Well, wait a minute." He said, "Last week my grandfather passed away and I inherited almost $1 million. And his friend looked at him, he said, "Man, why in the world are you so gloom?" And he looked at him, he said, "This week, nothing, nothing." Believe it or not, there are people in our world that are just as greedy. They are. And all they think about is self. Sometimes you wonder about the sincerity of people. There was a man named O'Toole one time who worked for a lumber yard for 20 years. And all the time he had been stealing wood and selling it. And at last his conscience finally began to bother him a little bit about what he had done. And so he went to confession and he confessed to the preacher that he wanted to repent. And he said, "It's been 15 years since I've come up to the church and acknowledged my sin. And I've been stealing wood from this lumber yard all of those years." And the preacher looked at him. He said, "I understand, my son." He said, "I want to help you." He says, can you build me a deck at my house?" And the preacher looked at him and said, he looked at the preacher and says, "Well, if you've got the plans, I've got the lumber." Well, believe it or not, there are some people that are so dishonest in life. But there's one last thing Jesus did, and I think it certainly is a great example to us. He taught Zacchaeus how to live and how to give. Look in verse 8. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." Now I want you to notice what's happening here. Christ hasn't said anything at all to him about being honest. He hasn't said anything to him about restoring fourfold to those that he may have extorted money from. He doesn't say anything. He just got into the presence of Christ. He's in the presence of Jesus. Maybe he had heard lessons that Jesus had taught earlier. But he says, "Lord," he says, "Behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And now look what Jesus says. "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also the son of Abraham." You know, you don't just stop when you get saved. Some people do. And I'm sure that Zacchaeus implemented everything that he said here. We don't read a whole lot about Zacchaeus in the Bible. But this story ends that way, and it kind of leads you to believe that he really has become a changed man because he came in contact with Jesus. For Jesus taught him how to live honestly. He taught Zacchaeus how to give generously. Jesus didn't tell him he had to do what he did or what he desired to do, but he taught him how to live honestly, and he taught him how to be a generous giver to those around him. We must teach those who come into Christ. And many times we leave them there and we never keep reaching out to them and seeking them and helping them to know more about the Lord. But they're just like babies in the world that are born into the world. When you're born into the family of God, you're a newborn babe in Christ. And we have to help them and nurture them along. I've often said that the church ought to be involved more in pediatrics than obstetrics. Obstetrics is when you birth them into the world. But do we give them the loving pediatric care that they need as babes in Christ? Jesus did. He did. You may never have heard the name Truett Cathy. Maybe some of you have. Anybody ever heard his name before, Truett Cathy? How many of you have ever eaten at Chick-fil-A? Anybody? How many of you know they're closed on Sunday? Did y'all know that? Truett Cathy was the founder of Chick-fil-A, and this is what he said. He said, if you wish to enrich days, he said, plant flowers. If you wish to enrich years, plant trees. But if you wish to enrich eternity, he says, plant ideals and morals in the lives of others. And that really is what we ought to be doing, isn't it? Being honest and being sincere with other people. You know, sometimes I have seen preachers live ungodly and immoral lives, and I mean that sincerely. And it's a shame and it's a disgrace, but I guess there's really no more shame and disgrace about it than members of the church that live ungodly. I heard about three preachers one time who split on a lottery ticket, of all things, and they won the grand prize of $1 million. The first one, who was a minister, made this statement. He said, this is truly a blessing. And then he said to the other, he says, but how much of this do we keep for ourselves, and how much should we give to God? After a few minutes, he said, I know. He said, we'll draw a circle and throw the money up in the air, and whatever lands outside of the circle, we will keep, and whatever lands in the circle, we will give to God. Well, another preacher spoke up, and he made this statement. He says, you know, he said, it's really a little windy today, and he said, I think we should throw all the money up in the air, and whatever lands inside the circle, we keep, and whatever lands outside the circle, we will give to God. Then they turned to another minister and asked for his opinion. And he says, well, he said, I guess the way I look at it is I think we should throw the money up in the air. And whatever God wants to keep, he can keep, and we'll keep the rest that falls to the ground. Well, believe it or not, there are some people just about like that. You know, how shallow is our Christianity? How genuine is it? There was nothing shallow about Zacchaeus. You know, I'm almost led to believe in this story, really, that maybe he had not been an extortioner. Because he makes a statement, this is a pretty bold statement. He says, Lord, if I have taken from any other man unlawfully, he said, I am willing to restore fourfold. You can almost see a glimmer of real honesty in this individual. We don't ever know that other publicans necessarily reached up to Jesus like this man did. But he did. And how Jesus reached him is certainly a tremendous example for how we reach other people. And I hope that we'll think about that tonight. We appreciate your being here. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we do reach out to you with the gospel. And we thank you for coming. And we hope and trust that if you're not a child of God, that you'll become obedient to him tonight. Little did Zacchaeus know that the moment that he climbed up into that sycamore tree, that he would have really an encounter with Christ, but he didn't. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing. Maybe tonight you'd like to have an encounter with Christ, and you can do that by doing exactly what Zacchaeus did, reaching out to Jesus, having a penitent heart, acknowledging him as the Son of God, and now by being baptized for the remission of your sin. And if you're a Christian and maybe you've erred from the faith and somewhere or another, you need to come back to God. Would you do it tonight while we stand and while we sing our song of encouragement?